It's The Biscuit, presented by HockeyFights.com. Hello and welcome, everybody. Today's guest is Elena Orlando of the National Women's Hockey League. She's a member of the Connecticut Whale, my favorite team in the league. I'm very excited to talk to her, and very excited to tell you guys about Hairless Ape Conspiracies. It is a t-shirt company, veteran-owned, veteran-operated. It's also a website and a state of mind where you can go and get information about being the best person that you can be. I highly recommend you guys head over to hairlessapeinc.com. Even just to read the influences they have on there. And if you're looking for a shirt, use the promo code BISCUIT10 and save yourself 10% off while you're there. And after you get your shirt, head over to Mount Vernon, Ohio. Take your shirt off, get in the float spa. Tell Chad I sent you. Get half off your first float. It's a sensory deprivation tank center in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Lucid float spas. You can also get a massage or just go hang out with Chad. He's a good guy. I like talking to him. You will too. And as always, we are brought to you by ParkersPlatoon.org. Stanley Cup champion Scott Parker and his family's nonprofit organization set to help one veteran at a time. Whether it be going snowmobiling, getting dogs for injured veterans, playing sled hockey, or just, calling veterans at our home now just to say hello. Scott Parker and his family do everything they can, like I said, to help one veteran at a time. Let's get into this. Elena Orlando, The Biscuit, HockeyFights.com. Let's party.
Now Probert got the right hand free. He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate, and down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey.
Enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's The Biscuit. It's The Biscuit.
Damn it! Just go regulation size of one!
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. There's a country we'll stop working on so bad this fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's The Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man.
All right, Biscuit Babies. Today I'm joined by Elena Orlando, defense for the Connecticut Whale. How you doing?
Pretty good. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Hey, thanks for getting up. And you have it's game day, right?
Yes, it is.
Holy smokes. That's dedication there. You got to give her a round of applause, guys. She's up bright and early in the morning to talk to the Biscuit. That's about, the worst thing to wake up to in the world. Now, who do you guys play tonight?
Boston Pride.
Oh, Boston. You got to beat them down.
Yep, definitely.
Now, you're a California girl, right?
Yep, now, born and raised.
Now, how did you get into hockey out there? Was it kind of the Gretzky effect in the early 90s, or did you have parents that were super into hockey? How'd that happen?
My dad kind of watched it growing up because he grew up in the Bay Area, and they had the Oakland Seals there. And so he kind of watched that growing up, but then when I started growing up, they built a roller hockey rink by our house, and I had an older brother who wanted to go try it out, and I was the annoying little sister that wanted to do everything big brother did. So he went and started roller hockey, and then I started roller hockey, and then they built an ice rink, and then he wanted to transfer over to ice, and I transferred over to ice, and that's kind of just how it started.
Well, it was really fortunate for California at that time because, everything started booming out there and they started putting ice rinks up, everywhere, really. So I think it really helped out a lot of kids in that area to be able to get on ice early on.
Oh, definitely. And it's grown a ton since I was a kid, too.
Oh, I can only imagine. Now, did your high school have a team or did you play on a traveling team or anything like that?
So I went to boarding school. I went to Shattuck St. Mary's and I played hockey there.
And then, so from there, you end up going to Quinnipiac. Were you recruited, or did you go to school and kind of walk on? How did you end up getting to play 4 years in college?
So I was recruited. They saw me at the National Development Camp that they have every year for high schoolers and everything, and they recruited me from there.
Was it an easy choice to go that far for school? Because, that's from one coast to the entire other coast.
It was a big change, but I mean, most of the hockey's out in the East Coast or the Midwest, and Shattuck is actually in Minnesota, so I kind of went halfway for high school and then figured might as well make the entire rest of the trip across the country for college. So
yeah, there you go. And I wanted to ask you, I'm kind of, you know, ignorant to this fact that, you know, like the men have, you know, the choice to go to college or to play, you know, like junior B or junior A. Is there a women's junior A in Canada, or is it like you better go play college hockey, or that's going to be it?
I'm not sure about Canada, but I know in the U.S. there's like no juniors. You just go from high school to college.
Yeah, I thought that. I was like, well, I mean, at least there's a lot of really, really good women's programs to play college at.
Oh, definitely.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and I was just going to say, and they're adding more as they're going along. I think a couple more have become D1 in recent years and everything. So
right,
it just keeps building up.
Absolutely huge. Now, I'm a father of two daughters myself, so I get really excited, you know, with the National Women's Hockey League. And then, like you said, all these programs that are becoming D1, not only does it afford these women an opportunity to get scholarships and go to school for free, further their education, but it gives them a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, oh, I can play hockey. I can go play in college, and I could even go play professional hockey.
Oh, definitely. Like when I was growing up, on the West Coast, you don't really know that much about college hockey. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to make the Olympics. And then obviously that didn't happen. So then it was nice to have that other option of being like, okay, I'm going to play in college. And then when I was in college, there was no NWHL at the time. And so your options were pretty much either be done after college, unless you were good enough to make the national teams, or you can go across, like overseas and play at like the professional levels there. And so I decided to go play over in Sweden. And then I played there for a season, half a season. And when I came back, that's when the NWHL started. So it was kind of awesome timing for myself. And like now that people in college, they can be like, okay, well now I don't have to go across the ocean to go play professionally. I can do it right in my own backyard.
Right. And there's a draft, and it's really like a cool thing that the league is getting bigger. And, you know, the partnerships with the NHL teams are huge too, because it gets them on in those stadiums and playing for more people. And you know, it's absolutely massive, to have that outlet. I mean, when you're growing up, you know, it was like Olympics or what do I do after that? And then, especially with how successful the women's national team has been, that's another huge thing for women's hockey in the United States. Is that an open tryout kind of situation? Are you asked to go try out for that team?
For the national team?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's it pretty much just invite people. I know that a couple people have been invited from the NWHL. I mean, they have their kind of pool of players that they've watched develop through the years who, you know, go from U18s, U22s to like the women's program. But I know that they, you know, if you're playing well enough, like at an older age, they can still bring you in. It's not if you don't make it from the U18s, you're never going to make it. So like we've had a couple people from the NWHL that weren't really in the system until they got that more, what's the word I'm looking for? Exposure.
Okay.
They got the exposure from the league, and then USA Hockey was like, hey, actually you're super awesome. Why don't you come to our camps and everything?
And that's huge too, that, you know, a handful of women that played on the national team play in the National Women's Hockey League too. So it's all good that it's all, you know, combining and working out that way. You know, and I think my favorite thing about the league now is it's, you can actually watch it. You can, with Twitter and the YouTube feeds that they have now, I mean, it's absolutely massive for fans like me that live in Ohio. You know, unless I'm going to see the Ohio State women's program, I'm not able to see women's hockey, but now I can turn on YouTube or Twitter and get live feeds of the game. That is massive for the sport.
Yeah, it's great. I know, like my parents get to watch every game in California.
How great is that?
Yeah, it's awesome. Like they never miss a game. They try to come out once a year to watch it live, but you know, they get to actually sit at home in California and watch me play professionally, which is great.
And you look at the numbers when they're on, too. I mean, there's thousands of people watching. So it's the more eyes that get to see you guys play, the better, because then you realize it's not just women's hockey. It's just really good hockey.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was watching the Isabel Cup from last year, the championship game, and there was like 48,000 people like
right.
watching the game. And I was like, holy crap, like that's a ton of people. Like you don't realize that that gets that much exposure until you're sitting in like the viewing count on there and you're like, wow, people are actually really interested in this sport.
Oh yeah, no disrespect. I was shocked myself the first game I watched on there. I was like, holy, I mean, there's like 30,000, like you said, 40,000 people watching right now. And this was a regular season game this year. It was like the Whitecaps versus the Buttes, I think. And it was just a mass amount of people watching. I think having the programs and the teams in the right areas right now is huge too, with, you know, having a team in Minnesota and Connecticut and Buffalo, like these huge hockey communities get another outlet to fulfill their, you know, their hockey need.
Oh, definitely. And the expansion of Minnesota this year has been like made complete sense, but it has reinforced it with the fact that they've sold out every single game.
How awesome. This season. Just awesome. Just awesome.
Yeah. Like now, their first year in the league and they've sold out every single game, and people are like, they sell out quickly too. It's not like they sell out day of, they sell out weeks in advance.
Right. People are, they're hounding for it.
Yeah. And I mean, other great neutral site games. We played in Pittsburgh this year.
Right. Now that they've done that for a couple years now, right?
Yep. They've had that as a neutral site or the All-Star game and everything. And the Whale played in it last year and again this year. And it's a fantastic crowd. It's sold out each year, and it's been really exciting to play in front of like these huge crowds that just love hockey so much. Like we're not even like the Pittsburgh team. Like we're not like, it was a home game for us, but we weren't the Pittsburgh team, and they were just loving it. They were loving everything about it. The atmosphere was awesome.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I sit here in the middle of Ohio. I'm a huge Whale fan. I have no problem saying that. go
great
Whale.
Great choice.
Well, it was undeniable. Like, I think the first season I looked at the four teams and went, oh, shit, the Whale, of course. Like, of course.
No-brainer.
No-brainer, exactly. Now, I want to talk about Minnesota's expansion. I'm kind of calling, you know, shame on them for just bringing their team in that was just a team. Like, there's no... And they're so talented, they play together. Was anybody like, hey, what the hell's going on here? Or was it just everyone excited to have another team in?
I think it was everyone just excited to have, like, another team in and, like, having that great talent. Because that's, like, a lot of the Olympians are from Minnesota. They train in Minnesota. They live there. And so for them to have that outlet, for them to play and be in the league and, you know, to bring that exposure, to bring that talent to the league, I think – everyone just loving the fact that it's growing the way it is.
Are they doing their home games at the Wild's practice facility?
Yes.
And that, I mean, that place is beautiful. They have that giant glass wall on the one side. I mean, that's the more the merrier, I think. And like you said, when they're selling out games a week in advance, how could that be a bad thing? I know that the travel was probably an issue, you know, for the league at first, but it seems like it's completely worth it.
Yeah, I haven't heard any complaints. We haven't been there yet. We're going in January, so I'm super excited. I've seen the pictures. It looks phenomenal. Like you said, the arena looks great. The fans look awesome. So I'm really excited to make our way out there.
Well, good luck when you head out there. I'll be watching for sure.
Well, thank you.
I mean, that's really cool, too, that you guys get to go to Minnesota and play hockey. That's so cool.
Yeah, and like I said, I went to high school in Minnesota, so it's kind of like a nice, like,
you'll have like a homecoming
kind of.
A little bit
for me.
Yeah, that's cool.
I get to see some friends from high school and everything, so it's really great opportunity.
And you guys play games on the weekends, right? So would you fly in like a Thursday, or you guys get in like a Friday morning?
I think they play Saturday, Sunday when we're out there, so we're going to fly Friday and then fly back Sunday.
Nice. That's really awesome. Now, I want to go back to your college days here for a second. Are you a complete psycho playing two sports in college at D1? That seems terrifying.
I've heard that I'm a complete psycho.
You
so,
have to be. You have
know, maybe
to be.
I am.
You have to be. That is insanity. I mean, you're playing hockey and rugby at a D1 school. Did you ever get to do anything?
No, because I was also a nursing major, so pretty much my life revolved around those three things.
Oh, yeah, complete psycho. Holy shit. Now, did you ever think about playing rugby afterwards? Like maybe going to, you know, New Zealand or Australia or something like that?
I still play at the club level, but I'm, because of like the way the NWHL popped up, I've dedicated like pretty much my whole life to hockey now, but I still love rugby. I have a lot of my friends are rugby players and like compete competitively and everything. So I try to stay involved as much as I can, like going to watch their games. And then in off season, I love still playing club rugby. It's a great way to stay in shape. And like I said, I love the game so much that, you know, it's, I can't really walk away 100% from it.
Right. That's one game that I've never been able to understand whatsoever. Everybody that plays it, though, loves it. I have a lot of friends in Michigan that play club, and I watch it, and I think it's because no one's ever explained it to me. I'm just going, what the hell's going on?
Yes. Sometimes I still feel that way about, like, what the hell is going on, but it's actually once you, you know, what, like you said, I think if someone explains it, then you kind of start getting an understanding. Is I honestly had no idea about rugby until I went to college, and the rugby coach there, like, she watched my hockey games and everything and was like, hey, like, I think you would be great playing rugby. Do you want to come? And I'm like, what's rugby? She's like, don't worry, I will teach you. And I was like, okay, well, you know, like, I'm a complete psycho and I don't apparently have plenty of free time, so let's put that another sport on. So
yeah, let's do it. I'm not in nursing school and playing hockey. Why not?
Yeah, so I started. I had no idea about any of the rules. I, you know, all I knew is you had to pass backwards and that was pretty much it. But she was a great coach. She taught us everything. A lot of the players she recruits are just natural athletes. They might not necessarily have had a rugby background, right, but are natural athletes, and so she recruits those players and, you know, teaches them the sport, and they won three national championships in a row, so damn. I mean, it kind of speaks to her pedigree a little bit too.
Now, the one thing I knew is I saw the dudes that played and their thighs, and I went, oh, that's wider than my waist. I cannot play this sport. Those guys, it's like, it's insane. I'm like, that is a tree trunk for legs. Like, they're just massive dudes.
Yes, huge, and like the
I'm sure the ladies too
are the same way.
I'm sure,
just, like, tanks, like the strongest people. I was a back, and so I was kind of like the smaller, like sprinter type people. Mm-hmm. So I don't have those massive thighs, but like a lot of my teammates were just like,
no,
tree trunks.
I would have been ashamed to get in the shorts and get out there and be like, oh guys, look, don't look at my thighs. Give me a break here.
don't skip leg day.
Yeah, exactly. So you had mentioned earlier that you went to Sweden and played after college. Was that like another deal where someone from Sweden gets a hold of players in college and say, why don't you come over and play? Or did you seek that out and find a league and kind of go, here's what I can do, send a tape or something like that, and then head your way over?
So I think it works both ways. You can get contacted. I know that a lot of like leagues, because there's like Finnish league, there's Swedish, there's Russian. There's leagues like all over Europe that, you know, that try to recruit American players to come over. And I think that you can, there's a lot of contacts there. If you are interested and you don't hear anything, you can send a quick message. For myself, I got lucky because my roommate in college was from Sweden. Her dad coached one of the teams out there. And so I kind of just said,
nice.
Well, they kept saying, do you want to play? Do you want to play? And I was like, I don't know. And then finally I was like, you know what? Screw it. You only get to, you know, go travel abroad and play hockey once in a while, so might as well do it. And I told her yes and kind of just packed up and moved over there. And
well, of course.
It was a great experience.
Yeah, why not? 1 year playing professional hockey in Sweden, to sign me up.
Yeah, it was great. And I love traveling around Sweden and country. And
were you in a big town over there?
No, it was a smaller town north of Stockholm, but we played teams in Stockholm and everything.
Okay.
So I kind of went all over Sweden, and then when we had periods off, then we would go travel around and do sightseeing and stuff.
The landscape over there is, I mean, that's worth going to play just for that.
Oh, it's beautiful. We'd go up north, like more northern, and it was just like a nature magazine, like,
yeah,
honestly, like National Geographic. Like, it just was beautiful with the snow. There'd be like moose everywhere, and you're like, where am I? It seems like a different world pretty much.
Now, do you think that gave you a little bit of advantage when you came home and then noticed that there was going to be a National Women's Hockey League? So you already had a year of professional hockey under your belt. I mean, do you think that was an advantage going into your first season in the NWHL?
for myself, I think so. It kind of like, you know, it helped me develop my game a bit more and, right. you know, play with older players because that's the professional league out there. There's older women. There's, you know, national, like Swedish national players playing in that league. And so, you know, playing against some of those players really helped develop me as a player. So I think it helped myself.
Were you ever finding yourself comparing the two? Like, oh, we didn't do this in Sweden or this is different or anything like that?
It is different in some ways, but I think that I was just more enjoying the experience of being over in Sweden to like kind of like take note of what how the leagues are too different.
Right, right. Now, so you have been in the league every year that it's been alive. What is the biggest change that you've seen since its creation in 15-16?
The fan base. It's huge now. Like it was great. And it was big when we started because mm-hmm. there was a lot of buzz and there was a lot of people like really interested in it. But the dedication of fans, that I know people that have been here since day one and they are like fans since day one and they're awesome. And they just keep building the fan base and the amount of people that come to games. Like I was saying, Pittsburgh, I never dreamed that it would be like that big of a thing when we went to Pittsburgh and we did autographs after the game. And it was literally an hour long like line.
That's awesome.
That we did. It was amazing.
Now, I've seen that. Like we said, the All-Star game, and then they had the neutral site game as well. It seems like Pittsburgh is really, really buying in to get a team. I think they've got the market there and the acceptance and the support that they've shown there, too. I would like to see, you know, hopefully another team get added one day, and I would hope that Pittsburgh gets one.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, the fan base, like it's already there. It's established. People were coming from all over the state to come watch the games and everything. And the rink is beautiful because it's the Penguins practice rink
right.
that we were playing out of. It's beautiful. So they already have kind of the resources to do it and everything. It just kind of depends on, right. you know, what the next step for the league is.
Right. Exactly. And they, like the partnerships going too, you know, having a Penguins partnership wouldn't hurt either. So
oh, definitely not.
And it's a sports town. I mean, it's all people do in Pittsburgh. There is shit else to do in Pittsburgh besides watch sports. So it's pretty perfect. I've been there.
I don't know much about, I don't hang around Pittsburgh that much. So
no
I don't
one
know,
does.
I can't speak to what else they got going on.
No,
there,
no one but. Does. It sucks there. I'll say it for you. It sucks there. but the games are awesome. I mean, I've had good times in Pittsburgh. It's always really gnarly there. Like I've told the story on here before, but like we on tour one time we played and just drunk people falling out in the streets, just dudes fighting cops. It's insane. It's really a gnarly place, but I shit on them because my little brother's a Penguins fan. So I kind of have to, he was,
it comes with the territory.
Yeah. He was abused by his brother. So it's not his fault. Now your game is kind of old school defense, like a defense person playing defense. I appreciate that about your game. Did you idol anybody that way or were you taught or like maybe, you know, influenced to be like, okay, let's play defense when you're on defense?
I know, mind-blowing concept, a defenseman that plays defense.
It's almost gone now. It's really a novel thing now.
I agree. Like, you know, you look at the Norris Trophy, it's given to the best offensive defenseman.
Yeah, whoever scores the most goals gets it.
Yeah. You know, like, there's nothing wrong with that, because being a defenseman and scoring a lot of goals is super impressive, because
right.
speaking for myself, I don't score, like, ever. So, you know, for me, it's super impressive when people score a bunch of goals as a defenseman. But I pride myself on being a defensive defenseman. I love blocking shots. I love making those big defensive plays and, you know, shutting the other team's best forwards down. I actually started playing defense and forward growing up, and then I played forward all the way through college. And then when I went over to Sweden, I played a little bit of defense in high school, but then just straight forward in college. And then when I went over to Sweden, they had me doing both. And I was like, you know what, like, defense is really more suited towards my style of game. And so I started playing it more there. And then when I came over to the NWHL, you know, I tried out as a defenseman and luckily that worked out for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you hesitant to pull the trigger and take the green light to take shots because you're a defenseman or is it just, cause I feel like, and I'm a Blue Jackets fan and there's so many guys on the team that just like, don't shoot the puck. I'm like, what? Just shoot it, man. Just shoot it. Shoot the damn thing. Let's go. Puck's on net. Do you ever find yourself hesitant because you're a defense defenseman?
No. It just kind of comes with the opportunities. I'm still trying to score goals out here. I mean, I know that I'm trying to be I am a defensive defenseman, but, you know, I like to score once in a while. You know, it'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, I really like to model my game after, like, someone like Mark Edward Vlasic for the Sharks.
There you go.
He's a very underrated player, I think. Like, I know he gets exposure and stuff, and he played for, like, Team Canada, but he's still very underrated for who he is because he's so solid. He scores goals, like, not as much as, like, someone like Brent Burns does, but he's such a solid, reliable player, and he does everything right. That's the kind of player that I kind of model my game after.
He's ever consistent, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely.
And I have a lot of respect for Vlasic, too. You know, when the NHL said they weren't going to send the boys to go play the Olympics, he was one of the few guys that actually came out and said, you know, this is whack. I want to play for my country. Like, I like that, you know, there's outspoken athletes still. And I think that's a big thing with the NWHL, too. You guys aren't afraid to be on social media or take pictures with fans and really understand that, like, the game's not going to grow unless the fans grow.
Yeah, 100%. Like, the social media is, the way it's grown is how you can grow your fan base. You know, like, reaching people in Ohio, reaching people in California. Right. You know, you're growing the sport around the country, despite the fact that it's a East Coast, Midwest kind of thing. Because you hope that eventually in the future, when you move further across the coast, all the way across the country, that, you know, you've already kind of established that fan base over there. And, you know, giving back to the fans, because they're the reason that we're here. We wouldn't have a league if people weren't interested in it and they weren't coming to watch games. And so, you know, giving back to the fans who support us so greatly, it only makes sense that we support them back. And, you know, also for kids growing up looking at us as idols, and, you know, that could be me in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to keep that fire burning inside them, so...
Well, you guys will be the trailblazers. I mean, when they look back on this league, and I hope this league lasts forever, I mean, you'll be considered one of the forefathers of it. I mean, it just is a fact that, you know, the ups and downs of the leagues, that you guys are staying persistent and getting bigger and bigger, making deals, making things happen, that when they look back on it, they're like, well, these were the women that started this. And I think I get in a, when you have kids, it really turns you into a softie. And I look at my girls and, like, I get choked up sometimes thinking that they will, if they want to, they have an opportunity to at least be a professional athlete in hockey. I think it's amazing.
Oh, I agree. Like I said earlier, like, growing up, it was kind of like Olympics or bust kind of situation.
Right.
And, you know, having that opportunity now for kids growing up, like, it kind of, like, it makes me soft too, where I'm like, wow, they like, if we can keep this going, like, if the league survives, like, which I have no doubt it will, because, like you said, it's growing. Like,
right.
Partnerships are growing and everything. Like, it's turning into, you know, something that's going to last for, like, a very, very long time. And, you know, that kind of makes me soft, too, because I'm like, wow, like,
well,
kids are going to have something to look up to now.
It's going
to
be crazy, you know, here in 20 years when a girl comes up to you and goes, look at this photo of me when I was 4 with you, and now I'm playing in NWHL. I mean, it's going to be insane.
That would be amazing, honestly. Because, like I said, like, that's really what it comes down to, is, you know, building that foundation and, like, creating that future for kids today.
Yeah,
if I can have that, then, like, I'll probably cry if that happens.
for sure. Yeah, staying positive and just keep trucking and keep playing. I think that's the main thing for the league right now. What the hell's happening in Connecticut right now?
In what sense?
What? Where's my wins at?
Oh, don't worry, it's coming today.
You heard that? You hear that first, there, Biscuit Babies. They're winning today. Put your money on it.
I think the team we have this year is so different than what we had, you know, last year. It's the talent is there. The team chemistry is there. It just took a little bit in the season for us to kind of figure out the exact cogs that go where, but I think that we really have found that, and, you know, over the past couple weeks, it's shown in games. We've seen it, we've seen the moments, and we've seen, you know, how this can be and how this season can turn around. And so I think everyone, you know, after the break is super excited to get back into it because they know that what we have is something that can win a championship.
Has there been a lot of turnover your few years here in Connecticut?
Yeah. I think we've had pretty different teams each year. And
it's
you
just
know.
part of the way it goes now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that'll all change too. And it, like you said, sometimes it just takes a little bit to get it going and connect. And I have no worries that you guys will be, you know, getting that W tonight and moving forward too.
I hope so, yeah. I feel confident about it too.
Hell yeah. Shoot the puck tonight every time you get it. Let's do that.
All right. If I score, I'm dedicating it to you.
Hell yeah, thanks. you know, we've mentioned neutral site games a few times and, you know, the how big the All-Star game, I think, is for the NWHL. Because it really is, you know, you see the skills competition for the NHL, and it's just a bunch of dudes that don't want to be there. And it's the complete opposite for the NWHL's skills competition. It's a bunch of excited players out there smiling, having fun. And I look forward to that event every year. And it's in Nashville this year. That's going to be massive. Are any of the players going down just to go drink in the experience besides the girls that were selected to the All-Star game?
I think a couple are. I mean, Nashville, what I've heard, I've never been there, and it's kind of on my bucket list, but I've heard it's an amazing city. So I think a couple players are going down just to, you know, like you said, soak in the experience, like watch the games and the skills competition and everything. I'm kind of debating whether or not I can work that out, but
you gotta go.
I kind of want to head down there too.
You got to go.
All right, I'm going to look into it. I'm going to start budgeting and getting ready for it.
Go knock on the owner's door and say, hey, let's get a party bus and let's head down to Nashville. Let's do this thing.
All right, I like the party bus idea.
Absolutely, it'd be sick. It'd be a blast. And it's perfect for Nashville. It go hand in hand. I think it would just be so cool to be there, I think, and a part of that. Like you said, Nashville is this, you know, kind of this new New Orleans type feel, where it's like a destination spot to go, and, you know, you guys will have people playing. I think it'd be a really cool experience.
Yeah, and there seems to be a lot of buzz fan-wise for it, and people, you know, getting tickets, people planning, like, parties, like, pre-games and, like, tailgates and stuff. And so I think the experience in general is going to be amazing on top of the games and the skill competition.
Hell yeah. There was, you know, some big moves, you know, coming into the end and to the Women's Hockey League this year. And then a few big name players leaving too. You know, with Hillary Knight going up to the Canadiens Women's Hockey League. And then I always say her name wrong. Shannon Sabagados.
Sabados.
I never say her name right. Huge. And I mean, that's a massive thing. I would have liked to see Hillary stay here just because people know her. And I think it would have been big for the league, but I mean, you can't blame her if she was getting more money or whatever it seemed to be right for her life. But do you ever see a day where these two leagues can merge and, or maybe just like the old days of the cup, like a challenge cup, like maybe have the winner of the Isabel be like, okay, let's go. Do you ever see that happening?
I hope that in the future that it does become one league. I think it's the best thought process for the success of women's hockey is, you know, you not having two leagues competing against each other. You know, you don't want to make the NHL have to choose who they want to kind of partner with a little bit there. And so I think that in the future, I don't know about timing. I don't obviously don't know the business logistics. I know they've been in talks about the possibility of combining and everything, but I think that it would be great because then you have like the best players from Canada and the U.S. all playing in one league.
Yeah.
And that in itself will help grow the sport when absolutely. You're having pretty much U.S. versus Canada all the time.
Yeah.
And everyone loves that game. So, you know, that would never hurt. And so I think that, you know, you don't have those, like, the drama of whether it be real or fake drama that people just want to create of, you know, players choosing which league to go to.
Well, it sells tickets too, drama. I mean, at the end of the day, it really does. So like you said, having those, you know, Toronto's playing Buffalo tonight or Toronto's playing Connecticut. I mean, people love that shit.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think it would be great having those rivalries and everything. And, you know, I don't know about having the two champions play each other. I don't know if they've talked about that. They possibly could have. We've the NWHL played the Swedish professional leagues champion in like a series there. And, you know, we, the very first year of the league for the Winter Classic, we had the NWHL had one team playing versus a team from the CWHL at in Boston when the Winter Classic was there. We had like kind of like a friendly game.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's been moments in which there's like the possibility of that crossover, but like I said, I don't know the exact logistics and I don't know the financial situation of all that. So I can't speak too much to that, but for myself as a player, like I'd love to see all the best players playing in one league.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, are there rivalries building in the league or is everybody still just so happy to be in? Or is there one team that you look at and go, God, I just really want to beat Boston all the time?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we, I don't know, we kind of feel that way about a lot of players, like a lot of teams. But
just beat
I think someone like Buffalo or like the Riveters, we play them a lot and we have that kind of like competitive, you know, competitive every game, but you know, you have that extra like grit into it.
Yeah.
So I think maybe those kind of teams.
Hell yeah. Now there's, you know, a big thing, you know, that I wanted to ask you because I've never talked to an NWH player about this. If you want to speak on it, you can. If you don't, that's fine. You know, the transgender rules, which I give two thumbs up in the NWHL, I think they're set perfectly for how it needs to be to make player safety number one. I always worry about, you know, an XX and an XY competing against each other. And I just say that because, you know, I don't want to offend anybody with male or female, but it's like, I think about a person who was, you know, XX until like 20 years old, and then they transition and start taking estrogen, you know, which in the NWHL has to be 4 years and your levels have to be down. But I still think about all those years that they were essentially a man, and there's a difference. I mean, men are generally bigger people, and I just don't want to see one day where someone gets hurt. Like you have people who have transitioned fighting and, you know, MMA things and doing weightlifting competitions and handball. I don't want someone to get hurt. And I want equality for sure. 100%. Like I think Harrison is huge for the NWHL. I mean, he's killing it. It's great for him. And, you know, her name's Jordan Sparks, I think, in the Canadian League. I don't know how the players feel about all that. And like I said, I know it's a touchy subject, so I just wanted to get your opinion on that whole process and the rules and going forward, you know, with, because it's all new. It's all very new to hockey fans, and I just didn't know how the players felt about everything.
I can't speak for everybody, but for myself, I honestly have no problem with it. You know, if I think the league's policy on that is, from what I understand, is very informed. It's very well thought out. They've consulted with a bunch of people, and like I think they got it right. So
I think so too.
If, you know, their informed decision and their policy, I think, is, you know, is in the best interest of the league and the individuals. So I think that as long as people are, you know, meeting that policy and everything like that, I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I think so too. And I really think, like you said, the due diligence they did to create that policy is, it seems just watertight. It seems perfect. And, you know, and if you're a competitor, you're not going to, it's not really going to matter either way. Like, cause the levels are going to be the same. And, you know, I mentioned the lady who's in the MMA, she lost. I mean, she has lost fights. It just, it's weird to see it at first. Like, but if the players in the league don't care and the policy is set up the right way, I don't think it's going to matter at all.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, like we said, like the league did its due diligence. I consulted with people that have understanding and have resources and research and like all the knowledge in this kind of situation. And so I think that they made that informed decision with that policy. So I think that, you know, like I said, if it's meeting that policy and it's what the league thinks it's in the best interest of everyone,
right.
I don't care. Like, I don't care.
I
has no problem with me.
I really don't care either. I only ask because I know the listeners are going to want to know, and I would like to see where that's, and I think it really is taking a back burner. You know, it used to be, you would think of the NWHL and people would be like, oh, the transgender rules and the money. And now it's just like the girls are playing amazing hockey. The league's doing really well. I think it's really going to the right spot where you guys are really focused on the hockey, and that's the hockey and the fans. And that's what's going to make this league thrive, which it is.
Yeah, definitely. I think you said it perfectly. It's about the hockey. It's about the competitiveness and everything. Like, you know, if you can play, you can play, that kind of motto. So I think that that's really what matters for players is, you know, having that competitiveness, having those fans, having the leagues, like, be successful in the way it is.
Do you have anybody in the league right now where, you know, you're looking at them, where there's certain players, you know, where you're on the ice with Connor McDavid and they're going, holy shit, there's Connor McDavid. Is there anybody in the league right now when you're out on the ice going, oh man, watch them play hockey. This is insane.
Well, she's on my own team.
All right.
But Katarina, from the Czech Republic, she's a phenomenal. She embarrasses me in practice all the time. Her stick handling is amazing. Like, she goes between the legs and everything, you know.
Yeah.
She's a great player, you know. She's phenomenal. So it's exciting to watch her play because she does crazy stuff out there.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'm glad that she's on my team because, like I said, she sometimes embarrasses me during practice, and that would not be fun on national television. So.
Well, that's another big thing, too. There's a lot of not a lot, but, I mean, there are foreign players coming over to play in your league now. That's huge, too, to grow the game globally.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's, like, we have a Finnish goalie, we have someone from
yes.
Sweden, we have someone from Czech Republic. You know, it's awesome to see how it is growing and bring that international support in, and, you know, because there's great players over there, and you kind of want to bring in, like the NHL does, you want to bring in the best
yep.
of the best from all around the world. So
now,
having that step has been huge because it's kind of like showing that we're going in the right direction where people are willing to come over from foreign countries to live here and play here.
Absolutely. Now, are you guys a tight-knit group? Are the girls, you know, hanging out, or the players hanging out during the week? Are you guys basically seeing each other on the weekend? Because I know everybody has lives still and, you know, still have full-time jobs and, you know, working a whole nother full-time job on the weekend. Are you guys able to meet up anytime during the week, maybe get some ice time or, you know, go to the bar, crush a few units, anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. My team has become obsessed with bowling for
mm-hmm.
some reason. So we kind of do weekly bowling. Usually after Friday practices, we'll go to the bowling alley. But we went last night and, you know, we like hanging out. We'll go up to there's a bar at our practice rink. So, you know, sometimes we'll go up there after practice and just hang out. You know, it's a group that likes to be around each other, which
That's
is
good.
It's amazing because, you know, you don't always get that. Sometimes you get the team that has a lot of talent, but they all hate each other.
Right.
Whereas, like, we have the team that, like, has that talent, also has that blue-collar, like, grit kind of identity, but we all love hanging out with each other. So that's a nice thing. We go to the bar, we'll go hang out, we'll have team parties, we'll have holiday parties, that kind of stuff. So team definitely likes hanging out with each other.
How'd you roll last night?
Oh, not a good night.
my bowling game.
I did all right, middle of the pack. Nina Rogers on my team is really good at bowling. She was just crushing it last night. Everyone was like, is this a secret talent that you have? Like, apparently you go bowl in your free time.
She's out there like early 5 o'clock in the morning rolling.
Getting her reps in.
Yeah. My bowling game is despicable. It's I don't even have fun doing it because I can't even compete in it. I get so frustrated. Then I show up and my friends are like, they got fucking wrist guards and like bringing their own ball. I'm like, when did you guys buy your own bowling balls? What is going on?
You didn't get the memo, apparently.
No, you guys got bowling leagues I didn't know about? What the hell's going on? I don't even want to play with you guys. This is.
I don't even think I bowl the right way. Like, everyone makes fun of me because, like, I go like overhand. I do like a flick of the wrist kind of thing. And everyone's like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. That's how I bowled my entire life.
Yeah, I'm throwing this ball down there. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, what do you want from me? I'm just trying to make it go straight down the lane so it hits something.
Well, and I always see you guys, you know, the Halloween parties have become infamous with the NWHL, and then the skateboard rides that I had spoke with Sofia Gastinelli last year.
Yes, we love longboarding. It's luckily we haven't had a lot of snow, so we like to go longboarding around where we live, and, you know, we like to have themes sometimes. Like there was a 12 bars of Christmas, like bar crawl that we went to, everyone was dressed in Christmas attire. And we were like, you know what? Let's just not go in the ugly sweaters. Let's do something else. So we wrapped like battery powered Christmas lights around ourselves and went longboarding to all these bar hopping. And it was great. It was a fun time, but yeah, luckily we're in an area that we can go longboarding.
Yeah. Are you guys getting noticed out on the streets now that the league's been around for a few years?
Some people do. If I'm wearing some whale stuff, people will be like, hey, like,
oh shit,
I love the whale. And I'm like, I play for the whale. And they're like, oh, no way. Wait,
so, is Elena your favorite player? Because I'm her.
Yeah. Well, she's not. She should be now.
Yeah, that's right. I got a pen. You want me to sign your face?
Exactly. But yeah, like, some people will recognize the whale, you know, logo and stuff when we're out. Now, when we were bowling yesterday, we got some new sick hats from Sauce Hockey.
Yeah.
And some of the team was wearing it last night. So, like, a couple people came up and was like, oh, my God, I love your hat. Like,
what's on the hat? I haven't seen them yet.
It's the whale logo, but in the front, it's, like, green and white striped. And then it's, like, the back is blue mesh.
Ooh.
They're pretty sweet. I put it on Twitter, so if you want to check them out. They also got them online. They're awesome. Someone loves them now.
You can buy them?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm looking for a new bucket. I might have to pick one up. I love that little whale guy. He's adorable.
Oh, you know, I love him.
Did they ever name him? I know that was a big thing with the fans last year.
Oh, I don't know about that. I got to know.
I told Sophia a name I wanted, and then I don't remember. I don't remember at all what it was. I might have to go back to her episode and listen to it now. Shit.
I didn't even know they were naming it. Now I want to name it.
Yeah, I don't know if they did, but if they didn't, you got to get that up on Twitter, start a poll, and get that guy named for sure.
Oh, my God. I got to put the poll out today.
Name the whale. Name the whale, for sure. Just a few more for you here, and I'll get you on your way. I know you got a game. You got to, you know, get prepared and all that good stuff. The biscuit now is presented by HockeyFights.com. So I like to ask the people, the guests that come on, if they ever go on HockeyFights.com. And do you enjoy a hockey fight, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I think that, you know, there is a lot of entertaining fights out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely can enjoy a good fight. When it's a big rivalry, too, it's great watching.
Well, think about
guys drop the gloves with that.
But the old one with Canada and USA, and that one's a really good one. It's like almost, it's so close to being a full line brawl, and that was amazing.
I was watching the Islanders Senators game the other night.
That was a good one.
Yeah, and I was like, I looked up and I was like, oh, it's a line brawl, casual. Don't see those very often.
Yeah, I saw Ross Johnson just work a dude. I love that guy. I always like to ask. I know it's in the National Women's Hockey League, it's, you know, you can't do it, and that I'm not saying it should be in, but it's just to, you know, wonder if you ever go back and watch, like, Probert fights or Ty Domi and shit like that.
Yeah, no, sometimes I end up down the YouTube wormhole, and I end up, you know.
It'll happen.
Watching hockey fights, and you're like, okay, well, I've been an hour now, and, you know, just watch dudes punch each other in the face for an hour, but.
Yeah, that'll happen. My family go, where'd you go? I'm like, oh, I accidentally watched hockey fight videos for 2 hours. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, because you watch one, and then you're like, oh.
Yep.
3 hours later, what happened?
So what does the future hold for you as far as hockey? And, you know, drop your plugs in. Like you said, we're going to get that Twitter poll up. And just tell the Biscuit Babies where they can find you and what you have planned for your hockey career.
I would love to keep playing as long as possible. So as long as my body and, you know,
good,
is holding up and it makes sense financially and, you know, situation-wise for my life, then that's kind of my plan. So, you know, I love this sport so much that I'd hate to give it up if I don't have to.
Well, I hope you can play as long as you want to. That's for sure.
Oh, thank you.
And what's your name on Twitter?
E_Orlando14.
And do you do Instagram or any of that shit?
I do Instagram.
I know most people do.
Yeah. My Instagram is Lanny. LANNY_C14.
What kind of name is that? No one's able to find that.
Well, that's it was a nickname people gave me in college, and that's what I made Instagram, and so I went with that for a bit, and it just kind of hasn't changed.
That's like a space code. You have to change that.
All right, what should I change it to then?
Change it to Elena Orlando. Just change it to E Orlando something. I don't know.
All right. I'll see what I can do. Instagram will let me do that. I'm bad with social media and how to work technology. I feel like an old lady sometimes.
Oh, I mean, my wife runs the Instagram and Facebook. I don't even know how to log on to that. So I just hand it over to her and say, hey, can you post this for me, please? I say, I'll pay you $1 a post for me, please.
You need someone in your life that does that, because if you don't do it, then...
You have to.
Gonna do it, yeah.
Because if you do like a podcast or you're a professional athlete, if you're not, no one's gonna. It's people are just munching down content as much as possible. So if I don't have a Reddit, an Instagram, a Twitter, someone won't find it, and then what am I doing? So I have to, yeah. I have to post 19 things. Like right now, I'm already thinking, once I stop this, I have to load this to like 19 different things. That's the worst part of. It's the only bad thing about the podcast.
You got to catch your wife before she leaves for work.
Yeah, no shit. Elena, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you coming on. Always an open invitation if you ever want to come back on, or any of your teammates or anything like that. I love talking to you guys. It's always a goal of mine to have at least somebody come on, you know, from the NWHL once a year. So far I've had two. They've both been members of the Whale, so I'm a little biased, but
I think you have a good pattern going there.
Yeah, well, I'll just keep it all Whale.
It's the Whale podcast now.
Yeah, for sure. Again, I really, really appreciate it. Best of luck tonight, and you know, moving on in your career. I wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you for having me on, and if you ever want anything to chat about, just send me a message and I'm more than happy to come on.
Absolutely. And a shout out to Sophia Gostinelli for, you know, I had emailed her and asked if I could get a hold of you. So I'm glad I got a hold of you and had you on.
Yeah, that worked perfect. Thank you.
Absolutely. Party on.
All right. Have a good one.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Elena Orlando, everybody. How fucking fun was that? That was a blast. Really, really glad she could come on today, take time out. I'm glad you guys take time out and listen to the show. I really, really appreciate you guys. Shout out to hockeyfights.com for presenting the show. Means a lot to me. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. I don't know. Obviously you have the podcast. Please share it with your friends though. Tell them about it. It's really how this show grows. Rate and review. For some reason that does something with the iTunes. Nobody really explains it to you. They just tell you to say it. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, if you guys have that. We're on all that stuff, Facebook. The Whale will be on tonight. I watch them on, I think, YouTube. Maybe it's on Twitter. But, yeah, you can find a live feed on that. Always go to their Twitters, and they'll have the feeds on there. I love you guys. Happy New Year. This is the last one until 2019. So I'll see you guys in 2019. Party on.